Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Face First Medical Aesthetics, birthday Botox at a discount, and for the guys, Brotox. It's located on the second floor above Gabbo's on Dewdney Avenue. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Corey a call at Double Z Ag Sales. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champion by calling 306-502-5355. Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville. Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower. Delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. Before we get to our Coach of the Week for Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, it's time for Ballsy's Pick 6 for SAS Selects Football, Building the Stars of Tomorrow. Today, we're going to hear from Zelko in our next installment about their great 7-on-7 league and something new they've got coming up this month. Something cool for the linemen and running backs. Number one in Ballsy's Pick 6. The Steelers are a perfect 7-0, and they might run the table. Now, I know lots can happen, namely injuries, but they have a very friendly schedule with only two games that I see they could lose. The Ravens on Thanksgiving night and maybe a game against the Indianapolis Colts. You know they're not going to lose to Baker Mayfield and the Browns. He never wins big games. Lamar Jackson is overrated. That's number two in Ballsy's Pick 6. His first pass on Sunday was a pick 6. He can't throw outside the numbers with any type of consistency. And as Mike Tomlin said, we respect him, but we don't fear him. No kidding. Oh, and he doesn't win the big games either. If we're going to say that about Baker Mayfield, then we have to admit that about Lamar Jackson too. The Patriots are dead. Newton is washed. They've got zero weapons. The Patriots have now lost four straight games for the first time in 18 seasons. All those years spent building a roster with spackle and chewing gum while Tom Brady served as the foreman has finally caught up to Bill Belichick. Even he appears to have no answers at this point. Now, Belichick is a great coach, best ever, but he's not the best ever without Brady. Great players make great coaches greater. Number four on Ballsy's Pick 6. Hey, Falcons, now. My Chargers made choking cool first. The Chargers are the best chokers in pro football, period. They've now coughed up a lead of at least 16 points in four straight games. Three of them defeats. What? It wasn't Philip Rivers' fault. No. Anthony Lynn should be fired as their head coach, and their owner is, well, he's terrible. Number five in Ballsy's Pick 6. It looks like old man Rivers isn't washed up just yet. Three touchdown passes in a quarter for Rivers in a big road win at Detroit. The 5-2 Colts are arguably the third best team in the AFC now behind Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And number six on Ballsy's Pick 6, it would really suck to be a New York Jets fan. I know two of them, and I don't have the heart to trash talk them. Some things never change. Check these stats out. In 1996 versus 2020, through eight games in 1996, their record was 0-8, the points allowed 212, points scored 114, differential of 98. In 2020, their record 0-8 through eight games, points allowed 238, points scored 94, differential 144. Patrick Mahomes had more touchdown passes against the Jets on Sunday, 5, than the Jets have thrown all season. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. Just end the season. Time now for our Coach of the Week, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. I'm joined by Peyton Hall, former Campbell Tartan, Regina guy, went to the U of S Huskies at a tryout with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and was coaching with his dad at the Kakawishtahaw Reserve. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's close enough for me.
Okay, good, buddy. Hopefully I don't offend anybody. Those are always tricky names. Now, Had you coached a lot previously to this, Peyton?
Not, I wouldn't say a ton. Like, I've obviously done a lot of, you know, since my first year up at U of S there, I've helped out with RMF doing the Spring League evaluation sometimes, doing the Mighty Mites camps, and then just little, you know, football SAS things or, you know, junior Husky type things that would go on up there. But that's about it.
So your dad was, you know, he's done in the public school board here, public school division in Regina, you know, predominantly with Campbell, but of course, obviously with Winston Knoll at the end here. But then he goes out to this reserve and helps out. Tell me about what that experience is like for you working with your dad and doing it in a in this terrible COVID time.
I'll tell you what, it definitely made me get a new sense of respect for, you know, what he's done his entire career. Just, you know, seeing the effort he puts into planning and the effort, you know, it takes to work a full day teaching kids and then to give up hours of your time after that for, you know, no pay. I definitely, you know, he did that for 30 years and I just did it for 6 weeks with him. And, you know, I got a kick in the mouth when it was, you know, tired after a long day of teaching and you got to be out there in the snow with the six kids that would show up to practice. But No, I've been loving it. You know, it's fun to work with them, fun to teach with them and also coach with them too.
Did you have a problem with attendance? Was it tough to get the kids to stay motivated? You know, or are they just learning to appreciate the sport, so to speak?
Yeah, it was, you know, our first meeting that we had, we lost, I think, four or five guys before we even stepped on the field. They kind of heard the expectations and heard, you know, how things are going to be run now, which is very different than anything they've ever experienced in their life. And a couple of them just decided that maybe football wasn't for them anymore, so... You know, that was tough the first day when, you know, guys are walking out before they even tried it. And then obviously after that, it was just, you know, every week was a constant battle just to try and get as many people out as possible. But, you know, there was a crew of around six guys and one girl ranging from grade 6 to 10, I think, that were pretty consistent. So you just got to focus on them and be happy for them that they were, you know, given the effort.
Peyton, is that a good starting point, though, a good base to grow the program out there?
Yeah, like I was happy, you know, that there's a couple grade sixes, three of them, a couple grade sevens that, you know, they stuck it out every day and came out against a couple high school kids. So, you know, that's exciting, but at the same time, it's just a different atmosphere and their whole sporting lives out here are very different than what I'm used to and, you know, what a lot of people experience in the city. So I think it's just going to be a slow process to try and, you know, show them what commitment looks like and show them what, you know, what it takes to actually excel at a sport and not just show up when you feel like it or show up when it's going to be fun or show up on game day.
Okay, did you ever have those days, Peyton, where you didn't feel like showing up, where you didn't want to do it? We all have it. My son loves the game, but there's even times like, I don't know if I want to practice. He still goes and he still gets into it. But besides your dad, if you did have those times, who kept you on the right road? What coach did you look up to besides your father, I guess is where I'm going with this question, that kind of kept you on the straight and narrow?
Oh man, it's kind of hard to say. Like I've had, you know, tons of coaches that have had a big impact on me throughout my life. Like obviously, Rob Hartman, who's coached with my dad for tons of years at Campbell, and he's known me since I was a little kid. And, you know, that guy could motivate a rock to do something if he wanted to. He's just a, you know, pretty exciting guy. So he was always someone. And then obviously up at U of S there was tons of coaches and, you know, Cody Hallseth, he was my coach on Team Sask for a couple of years and then had him for all 5 years as a DB coach. So Paul Waldo, too, obviously, he's known me since I was little because he played for my dad back in the day. And, you know, he would help us out up there in Saskatoon. So, I don't know. There's just too many to even name of, you know, it takes a village to raise a person. Just like, you know, there's a lot of coaches that play a role into any player's life the further they go into the sport.
In your opinion, now that you're a coach too, what makes a good coach? What's the one attribute you got to have as a coach, do you think?
Well, I've definitely seen the importance of organization and just, you know, needing to have a plan and to, you know, stick with it and not just go off the top of your head and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'd say, you know, adapting too. So we came in this year with, you know, I spent all this time making a fancy playbook and all that and was getting all excited about it and quickly realized that like these kids knew absolutely nothing about football. So like trying to run plays with them was not going to happen. And I just say, you know, having a plan, but also the flexibility to change that plan and make a new plan when when things happen. So that's what I'd say.
And Peyton, I guess too, with that, if you've got kids that have never played the sport, you can't, like you said, you can't get too deep into the drills, and you also probably got to keep the drills a certain length of time, because what I found as coaching the young kids is their attention span's pretty fast.
Yeah, it was just, like I said, it was a very, very interesting thing, a very different world that we came into. So the past however many years of my life, you know, at football, water breaks would be 30 seconds max. And you run to your water, you get your water, and you run back and on to the next drill. But here, you know, we had water breaks that they would just go and sit down and go into the locker room, sit down, and, you know, 10 minutes later, they're not even out yet. So, yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just it was a very different experience, but then, you know, finding ways to try and keep them engaged and to try and, you know, slowly without just yelling at them or without just, you know, always telling them like, hey, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But just finding ways to like slowly get them back to, you know, run on a schedule or jog it in instead of just walking. Little things like that.
Does it make you want to question parenthood?
No, you know, honestly, at the same time, I can, you know, it makes me realize and appreciate like how lucky I've been to have not just, you know, parents that have, you know, taught a lot of these things to me, but, you know, lots of other mentors and coaches in my life that, you know, from the day I started playing sports have, you know, instilled those things in me. And you can kind of see the disadvantage it puts kids in when they don't have that and when they don't have parents that will teach them that stuff or, you know, people around them that will, you know, lead them or show them what to do. Mm-hmm. It shows how important it is.
Yeah, and lastly, I guess that's where I wanted to go with the last question. Just how important do you feel the game of football and just sports in general is to the development of a child and keeping them on the straight and narrow and showing them different things that they can apply to life? Because, like, you know, your football career, you probably thought one time you're going to play forever. It's over now, but you can take a lot of things from the football field to life.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know, like they say, everyone always talks about football being a, you know, a great example of life just with the ups and downs and the adversity and all that. But, you know, even when I look at my own life, no matter what happened on the football field or, you know, what happened after I was done playing football, like pretty much everything, you know, everywhere I've gotten in my life has had something to do with football, whether that was the connections through, you know, being in Saskatchewan, so many people care about it and, you know, getting summer jobs or getting, you know, even a part of the reason I'm teaching here is just because of, you know, they wanted football to be a big deal down here on this reserve, and they wanted, you know, the young men and the young girls on this reserve to have an option through sports and actually get coaching and get better. So it just, it's never ended, you know, just positive that football has been for my life, and now it's kind of cool to be able to, you know, make it a full cycle, and now that my playing time's done, to, you know, hopefully impact someone else to feel that positivity too.
That's our Coach of the Week for Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, Peyton Hall. Thanks, Peyton.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.